Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
Such an important conversation today, because these days most of the Christian church denominations have in place wonderful programs for the protection of children. But there will always be the ongoing need to develop leaders in ways to keep our children safe when they are a part of church activities. Now, there's an initiative that is about to get underway right across the states and territories all around Australia. It's called the Child Safe National Roadshow, and it is coming to a town near you. Now, I know that so many of our listeners are in very isolated, remote, regional centres, and you might be wondering, is it really coming to a town near me? Well, what near means could mean many hours driving, but if there is one close to you and you're a part of a local church, you might want to have a representative there. Now, this is being run by a national child harm prevention charity called Child Safe. And it's touring Australia this year to empower organisations, businesses, charities and churches to improve their current child safety systems in light of the recent Royal Commission's recommendations. Well, for how it's going to work and how you can link your church to this roadshow, Child Safe spokesperson and business development leader Neil Milton, who is one of the driving forces behind this national tour, is joining us. Hello, Neil. Welcome along to 2020.
How are you going?
I'm very well, thank you, Neil. We're about a week and a half out and you guys will be on the road. It is a huge year you've got planned. In fact, going right through until October this year. Give us a little, in a nutshell, idea of where you're going to be going so we've got some context as we get our conversation underway.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, we are going to be starting in ACT. So we've got two sessions in Canberra on the 19th and 20th. And then we're going out to Batemans Bay and then Goulburn, so that week. And then we head to Tasmania. We'll be in Launceston, Hobart and Ulverston. And WA will be in Perth over there as well. Then South Australia will be three sessions, even the Barossa Valley too. And Sydney will be Tamworth and those sort of places as well. Tamworth and... I'm just trying to think... I've got so many dates in my head, to be honest with you.
All right, you've given you've given us the start there anyway, and but you're covering Sydney, all the states and territories.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Every single state and territory, including Darwin, Kazarin, all that sort of place as well, and Victoria. So, yeah, we really wanted to be an organisation that goes to the people. We didn't want to be an organisation that asked people to come to them, because we believe that the best way of really ensuring children's safety in organisations is to walk with people, and that's who we are as an organisation.
Well, for the 700 plus cities and towns listening into our conversation today, you won't be able to get to all of them, but there are some of the centres that you've mentioned that listeners will be thinking, well, I might be able to get someone from my local church to that Child Safe event in order to capture and link with and get a hold of whatever detail you've got to be able to distribute, because I want to come to some of these really important issues. I mean, the institutional abuse inquiry that was held, there were all sorts of recommendations from the Royal Commission, and a lot of those recommendations apply to the churches. And I wonder whether, if you can give us an in-a-nutshell idea of the sorts of recommendations that you'll be talking about on the roadshow.
Yeah, right. So what we're going to be doing is, so just to give a bit of context is, there were over 8,000 private sessions held around institutional child sexual abuse where people who had been abused would share their story. There was over 25,000 emails and letters received. There were over 42,000 calls that were handled and over 2,000 referrals to authorities, including police. So this is a massive effort of the Royal Commission, and that is spanning over 5 years. Now, there were out of that was 160-plus recommendations, and of that, 59 were for churches. So what we're going to be doing is actually looking at one particular area of the 17 volumes, and that is the the 10 national child safety standards according to the Royal Commission. And basically, they have put a recommendation out to 10 child safe standards that is like the base level for all organisations working with children. So we're going to be doing that. And, you know, standard one just says child safety is embedded into institutional leadership, governance and culture. So what we're going to be looking at is each of these standards. We're going to be saying the standard. We're going to be looking at what how that impacts your organisation, and then some practical tools and steps to take so you can implement it straight away. We want this roadshow to be practical for you.
All right, and I want to invite listeners to join in our conversation today. You can hear the value of what we're talking about, and you may have been part of church life for a while, and you're thinking, I wonder whether my church has these sorts of standards in place to protect children. I wonder whether you've got a reflection on just how important it is to protect children. And you might have a reflection on some churches that might not be giving too much attention to having these sorts of standards in place. This is a concern, isn't it? And if all the churches were really flourishing and doing all of these standards and keeping children safe, there might not be a need for your roadshow, Neil. But clearly there is a need for what you're doing.
There is, absolutely. And I think that... the former commissioner, Robert Fitzgerald, said it best at a conference last week. He said that you might be sitting there thinking that this is an old problem, but the truth is it is a now problem. And they had people that had been abused 3 weeks before the end of the hearings had been completed. And so this is actually happening all over the place, from sporting clubs to churches and the like, childcare centres. Youth detention, it's everywhere. And that is because a lot of people, and I think this is probably really important, is there's still a level of apathy, amongst churches and other organisations that it won't happen here. But from the Royal Commission and the recommendations and their findings, it really is no organisation can ever say that, because even the most upstanding ones, the reality is that there has been situations of abuse, which absolutely breaks my heart.
The sorts of people who will come along to the roadshow, Neil, I assume that you'll be hoping that there are people who are in leadership roles who'll be in the front row. I imagine it's also open to everyone who is interested in the safety of their children in a local church or charity context. It's open to everyone, isn't it?
That's right. It is open to everyone. I mean, look, we've basically said that anyone working with children in any capacity in the community, and, you know, you could be a parent out there, you could be a CEO of an organisation, you could be a pastor or a children's leader, a youth leader, a childcare centre worker, anyone who's working with children or young people in any capacity, because these standards are going to be the base level inputted into the national principles across Australia, and this is what the national office will be looking at when it comes to child safety.
Now, these child safety issues, and when we talk about child sexual abuse, the things that have happened historically in the churches, as you say, this is not just a historical issue, this is a today problem. For people who might be doubtful as to whether this might be happening in their local community, what are your insights into whether we're talking cities or country towns, the sort of prevalence of the risks to our vulnerable children if they're in the wrong hands?
Yeah, well, I think, I don't want to be a fearmonger or anything. I don't want to be like that, and I don't think we should be. But it is really important to recognise that 95% of abuse happens are known to the abused. So the abuser actually knows the abused. So the reality is that a lot of people would say, oh, but there's upstanding citizens in the community, there's these people, there's no way that this could ever happen here. But the truth is that 95% happens and they know that child. And the reality is that it's not the older gentleman or the older woman or anything like that. That does happen, but... lately the amount of abuse that's been happening with the 35, 45-year-old men. And it's not just situational in toilet blocks and those sort of things. It's actually in other ways. And I think that for me, in this role, I hear of situations where people are experiencing, especially in the sporting industry and the church space, there is that not just level of apathy, but there's also that level of I'm not sure what to do if this ever occurred. And therefore, there's not the culture of the leadership in the church or the organisation that says, actually, you know what? We put this as the highest priority. One, because we want the community to see it. And another, because we actually really, really care about children. And Jesus said, let the children come to me.
Interestingly, I suppose we can look at this issue as a glass half full or glass half empty issue. And the church has taken a beating over this past 5 years as people have come to the fore and they've told their story about institutional child abuse that's happened within the context of the church. As you say, these things are not going away. We have to do something now. The glass half full idea is that this ought to be seized as an opportunity to clean up the act of the church and so that the church can be a shining light for protection for children. Is this what you're hoping to achieve?
This is exactly what I'm hoping to achieve. I mean, I think Jesus said it. Jesus set the task really well when society was shunning children, and Jesus actually came to them and held them and listened to them and was there for them. And I think for us is that if we want to be an impact in the community and we want to show love in the community, the reality is the best way we can do that is to be transparent in all of our policies and procedures around the way in which we care for children. And at the end of the day, it's actually about trust. Let's be honest. This roadshow is not about how ChildSafe is helping you. It's not really about the Royal Commission. It's about how society has lost trust in the church and other organisations who work with children. And that has to be restored in order to make that impact in the community. And so at ChildSafe, we are about enabling trusted environments for your children. That's what we're passionate about, because it means that the community will start to take notice of the church. And like McCrindle Research says, that the number one reason why people are not going to churches is because of this stuff, because of this child sexual abuse that's happening and in the news and those sort of things. And so we should be doing everything in our power we can to make sure our systems are in place. But more than that, it's not about ticking a legislation box. It's actually about creating a culture of long-term child safety.
Well, of course, the major denominational leaders who've been bearing the brunt of all of the national criticism over this past 5 years while the inquiry was on, they have certainly acted to put denominational policies and boundaries in place. But there is a certain sense, isn't there, and I'll get your impression here, Neil, that when there's policy that comes from the leadership direction at the top of denominations, that filtering down to the coalface, where the local church is meeting and where children are a part of a children's church Sunday school, this is where it's important here to make sure that the people at the grassroots level actually know what they're supposed to be doing. I imagine there's been some blockages for some churches there.
Absolutely. I think, John C. Maxwell says, everything rises and falls on leadership, and we 100% believe that. If the church council or the leadership group, the board, they are the ones that are championing this, then the truth is the rest of the church will take hold of it. You know, when I was pastoring a church, my passion in this area came through, and I basically made it that if you're going to be a volunteer, even if you're not even working with children, you not only have to have a working with children check, but you need to do child safe training. Because what I wanted to show the community is that we actually take this seriously and we screen our volunteers and to make sure that this is actually something we're passionate about. But if the leadership don't get it and they don't see an importance in it, then therefore the rest of the church won't. And unfortunately, therefore, then there's a lot of gaps and the risk management side of things is not going to be up to scratch, and therefore more people may be exposed to that opportunity to be abused.
Okay, well, oftentimes in church life, you have a lead senior pastor, or it could be a priest, the minister of the church who's the leader. And then there are people who are in eldership-type roles or on church council roles. And of course, right. there are those then are involved in children's ministry. And that could be youth ministry too, because we're talking about those who are under the age of 18 here, aren't we? So so you've got an awful lot of leaders who might not be senior leaders, but they're leaders of youth ministry and children's ministry. And every one of those, some of those teams can be absolutely huge. It's not just one or two people in a church. These are often huge teams of leaders, depending on the size of the church. And every one of them has to be, in some way, ingrained with this appreciation of what it is to keep those children safe.
That's right. Absolutely. And it's got to be, it's got to filter through and it's got to be led. And, you know, a lot of churches we're speaking to now are actually saying, well, we're actually going to appoint someone that looks after child safety. As in a safety officer or a child safety officer or something like that, to make sure that everyone has their worker and children checked, is child safe trained, is up to scratch in that level and is screened. Because, you know, we know that people can slip through the cracks. And often predators, they go into situations where children are, and churches are those places. And if there's not policies and procedures in place to mitigate risk, then there are going to be gaps. And that means that, from a leadership culture standpoint, the child safe leaders, or the leaders, actually become the champions, and it becomes normal practice. So whether you're in a gymnastics stadium or anything like that, church or a childcare centre, everyone who's a volunteer or a leader understands what they need to do to keep children safe.
You're talking about something which is an incredibly important message. If your local church has these standards, a child safe protection program in place, it will repel pedophiles from coming to your church and then assuming those sorts of roles of trust. But if you don't have these in place, is it the case, Neil, that you actually might be a magnet for people who may be pedophile oriented?
Yeah, well, one of the standards actually talks about being transparent and making sure that your policies and procedures and your code of conduct is actually, you actually advertise that and get community, not approval, but oversight, if you like. And one way of that, it means that if you're transparent and people know that you've got these things in place, well, then if you're a pedophile or you're a predator, you're probably going to be less likely to go there, because you know that you need to be going through this procedure in order to not just work with children, but to be aware that you're not going to be able to be around children without these procedures in place. And also it says to a parent, hey, well, you can actually trust this church, not just because they've got things in place, but they actually are seen to demonstrate. And the former commissioner, Robert Fitzgerald, said it's not going to be just about whether you've got these in place, it's whether you can demonstrate that you've got these in place.
Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
Our talkback line open on 1-800-316-316. You might like to join our conversation, a comment or a question. You can also leave a comment or a question on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Vision Radio, to leave a comment or a question today about our topic of discussion today. We're talking about the Child Safe National Roadshow. And the Child Safe spokesperson and business development leader is Neil Milton. He is with us. The roadshow is coming to a town near you. Neil, as we continue this conversation, I know this is personal for you. And I wonder whether you're able to share with us your own story and how this relates to the sorts of things that you're encouraging churches to understand about protecting children.
Yeah, absolutely. I said in the break I'd be willing to share my personal story, and I am willing to do that because I hope that this inspires people to take a greater depth of action. I was in primary school, and I didn't really have many friends, relationships, something like that. And a guy who was only a couple of years older than me befriended me and connected with me. And now I know it's grooming, but I was groomed. And then therefore, and in that process, was sexually abused. Mm. And that was a process of about 2 or 3 years. And then one day it all kind of stopped. I was still left with no friends or anything like that, and still was going through these sorts of issues. I thought that I had diseases, and I thought I was a different sexual person, and a number of different things. And I didn't actually realise it was abuse until 20 years later. And what's really interesting is that the Royal Commission found that it takes around 20 years for someone who has abused a child to admit that they have been abused. And that's what they saw as common through the whole Royal Commission. And so my situation is different, because most people put the pedophile as a person that is, you know, 20 years older than that child, or 40 or 50 years older. But the truth is, my abuser was only a couple of years older than me.
It's a significant story. And when we talk about this idea of grooming, when you have been groomed and someone just 2 years older than you, some people will just say that's just a friendship that was growing over those 3 years. But if there were people in your church at the time who were trained to be able to see the signs, what to look for with what happens with grooming, you could have been protected from that. Is this part of the value of having done some formal training to be able to recognise those signs?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, mine was in a primary school, and I didn't go to church or like that then, but our child safe training, we look at what does it look like when it comes to abuse? What types of abuse are there, and actually what to look for? And I think that's really critical, because I think that a lot of people in local churches wouldn't have an idea of what a perpetrator looks like. Because the truth is, and this is probably hard to say, but the truth is that a mentor, in the time that that person spends and those sort of things, there's really no difference in terms of the behaviour of how they relate to that child or that young person, except that a groomer is one that is grooming for sex. And whereas a youth pastor or a youth leader with a young person, well, we would hope that they would be discipling them to Christ. And so but the behaviour is very similar.
Okay. Well, I want to invite listeners, join our conversation. Our talkback line open, 1-800-316-316. You can leave a message or question too on Facebook. Rose on Facebook says, our church comes under the ACC, that's Australian Christian Churches. They have a strict code for safe churches regulations, and you can't even volunteer if you haven't done the training. It's good to see some churches being on the front foot to protect our kids. This should also happen in secular groups too. Good to hear your roadshow is spreading the message. There's someone who recognises that there is good training in their local church, but it needs to be in every local church, Neil.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're starting to book up with face-to-face training. We offer face-to-face training, which at all different levels, from team member, team leader, coordinator, risk management officer, those sort of things, at those levels. And then we also have online training as well. So you could sit down on your comfy couch and learn about this stuff at 90 minutes of training. You can just go on our website and click on training. You can do that, and it's the basic training, but it's so critical. And I would suggest people do it every year.
Okay, and that's a refresher idea of doing that every year. We're talking about the Child Safe National Roadshow, kicking off in about a week and a half's time, going right through until October, visiting every state and territory. Neil, you must be getting excited. There's no doubt a team that are going on the roadshow. How are you doing this? Is like you're not getting a busload of people, or is how's it? You're flying into centres. How does it all work logistically?
Yeah, we're flying into the places, and it's really interesting. My event manager's been doing such an amazing job, and she's been booking up different places. We've intentionally not chosen churches because we don't want there to be any barrier for anyone around child safety in any capacity. And so from conference centres to community centres to sporting clubs, those sort of things. And so we're going to be going there. There's night sessions, morning sessions, afternoon sessions at different places. And basically we're going to utilise the time there to meet with other people as well that we meet on the roadshow to connect with as well.
Let me give the website here. It's childsafe.org.au. And for listeners who are thinking, I wonder whether that town that you're visiting is just near me, childsafe.org.au. Is there a program there of exact dates and centres where you've already got booked?
And absolutely.
There is. And Neil, is there room for new centres to book? Can you squeeze in more dates as you're getting the roadshow underway?
Yeah, we've intentionally not booked any for July and August to see whether there is a flood of people that want that. So if there's, say, you know, 20 or 30 people, up to 50 people to 100 in a particular centre, then yes, in between July and August, we'd be happy to come up there and do it for you.
Neil, let's just come back to something important you were talking about just before the news. And that's this issue of grooming in church life. Now, it's grooming that happens, and you were very open, and thank you so much for sharing your own story, a school-related grooming incident. But this issue of grooming, there needs to be a lot more understanding of the signs that that is happening and how to protect ourselves when it comes to the local church. You've got a few more thoughts to share on this issue of grooming.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think I'm a parent. I've got three children, okay? I've got an 11, 9, and 6-year-old. And I'm incredibly blessed. But I don't want anything bad to happen to them, you know? I don't want to wrap them in bubble wrap, but I don't want anything, as far as it is to me, anything to happen. And so the online grooming, especially the grooming side of things, both face-to-face but more online, has ramped up in a huge way. So pedophiles don't just have access to children in face-to-face, but they also have access to children online, and that's a really big problem. And so it's really important for parents to be aware of the importance of grooming that happens online. And so we've got to understand that the MO of a perpetrator often looks for the most vulnerable person in children, whether they've got no friends, whether they've easily led, whether, you know, those sort of things. And so the reality is that the online space provides that opportunity through online games, through Facebook, through Snapchat, Instagram, those sort of places. If children aren't aware of what it is to protect themselves, and parents aren't aware that what they're doing is, there's a really big problem, because it means that there's a greater access for harm to occur.
Now, Neil, we want our children to make friends in our local church. We want them to grow in their faith, to become mature believers together. And so we want them to have some communication with each other. But that's right. You've got some practical ideas about how your church can provide a safe space for that to happen. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, with perpetrators, they are very private. And so what that means is that they will often try to get a child alone to do what they want to do with them, and that includes on the online space. And so one of the things that would be really important is, if you've got a youth group, don't have youth leaders being friends on Facebook individually with youth kids. because that's where this silent and private conversations can occur. Instead, have a Facebook page where people comment and message through that, but everyone gets the notifications. And that's just a real simple, practical thing, but it means that there's a transparency and no one who is wanting to bring harm can actually do that because everyone can see the conversations that are happening.
And if your church has a child safety officer and you've got that Facebook page, which is the only area of, the place where the leaders are communicating with children, this is something that they can oversee. So you've got an oversight, you've got a protection that's happening for the communications that are happening within church life.
That's right. And look, at the end of the day, you should have a social media policy. If you've got social media in your church, you should have a social media policy that basically stipulates what you will put on there and what you won't and how interactions and relationships occur, which basically means, and you actually advertise that to your church and the community so they know what is going on. So therefore, if a youth leader wants to get involved in that and there has been experiences that we have had in those situations where a youth leader has befriended a younger youth and has started sending or sexting them, and it breaks my heart to hear that, but that is the truth that happens, then that is less likely to happen. And we would say as well is that have one particular mobile phone number that there's the connection with, and that the youth leader makes intentional connections with parents and communicates to the child through the parent, if that's possible, or caregiver, which means that therefore there's no individual contact on their own to have that happen.
And if you've got the standards in place, Neil, this means that you can easily then draw attention to things that might look a little bit untoward, inappropriate. You can actually determine whether there's something inappropriate that might happening if you've got the standards in place. If you don't have the standards, if you don't have those sorts of simple things in place, then you've got no way to actually know whether your child is at risk.
That's right. There's no guideline. There's no understanding of what is child safety. And you might be just clutching at straws and trying to navigate. I mean, let me just put a bit more of a sadness to this as well, is that there was a situation where a young girl was befriended online by a person who was actually an adult, but they made out they were a teenager. This occurred in South Australia, and eventually that young girl ended up meeting with that person, realising that person was an adult, and unfortunately that didn't end well, and she was killed. And now there's foundations actually advocating for this child safety. There's now a law that's changed called Carley's Law, and basically if you can identify that the person your child might be talking to, if that is occurring, is an adult, even though they're coming as a child, and they are wanting to have sex with that person, or there's an intention of harm, then that person who's wanting to do that could actually be convicted.
Mm. We're taking calls on 1-800-316-316. Let's hear from Claudia in Exmouth in Western Australia. Hello, Claudia. Welcome along.
Oh, hello. How are you doing?
Very well, Claudia. What are your thoughts on our conversation today?
Oh, okay. So I actually work, I'm a volunteer for Youth for Christ, and we actually have policy where we do child safe. So I did the online training and I was really, it really opened my eyes to what's going on. And I also, because I worked with them for so long, they used to come up and do a lot of teen stuff here in our town. I recognised what they were actually doing after doing the course. I'm like, that's why they did that. Okay, that's why they did that. That's interesting. So we're actually, as a church, we're starting up a youth group very soon. And I had told our elder about Child Safe and how I completely recommend that all our leaders do that so that we keep our kids safe. So I'm just wondering whether because we'll be doing it soon, whether there's an online course that our church can register for and do the course.
Yeah, Neil? Absolutely. Yep. Sorry. Yep. Thanks so much for calling in. And great job that you're actually asking these questions. It's wonderful. So if you go to childsafe.org.au, on that first page, it says training. You can click on that, and then it takes you to another site that you can pay for that training.
Okay. Okay, cool. And that we can all access that. All different leaders can do the training.
Absolutely, yep. But my encouragement to you would to actually get in touch with us at the office, we could actually work out what is best for your organisation in order to do that. If you want to do the online child safe training, that's totally fine. Just go on our website and each individual person do that. But if you've got a group of people, then there might actually be another angle we can go with for you.
Excellent.
Claudia,
thank you so much.
Before I let you go, Claudia, don't go away just yet. You're actually about to launch a youth group and you want to get these foundations in place. Sounds like you've got the horse before the cart and not the cart before the horse. This is something that you've obviously been inspired by doing some training in this area of child safety. This is something that you would see as very important for every church, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. It's our leadership, actually, what you were talking about before, that if the elders catch on, then the rest of the church will follow. And they have been on about making sure that everybody has working with children. So when we have kids' church and stuff, we have to have that regardless of what kind of experience we have. And make sure that we keep our kids safe. It's really important. I mean, we're a small community and we know everybody very well. But I work at the school here as well. I do a lunchtime dance program for free through Youth for Christ. And there's some kids there that I wonder, you know, am I meant to talk to somebody about that? Where do I go? And I know that Child Safe brings it up. But when it comes to your attention or when you start to think those things, you start thinking, well, am I just making that up? So that's actually kind of a really good thing I might actually talk to Neil about and ring Child Safe to make sure that we are on the right, have the right understanding, because there are some kids that are quieter and keep to themselves and I worry about them.
Claudia, thank you so much for your input today here on 2020. And Neil, you had another response there for Claudia.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what part of WA are you calling from?
We're in Exmouth. It's a little town 1,300 kilometres north of Perth.
Okay, so we're going to be in Cannington, Joondalup and Bunbury. Anywhere close?
No.
So the online course there is very important for Claudia in Exmouth. And the interesting thing that I want to draw attention to, just thank you so much to Claudia for being part of 2020. The interesting thing I want to draw attention to is something that Claudia raises. Who do I talk to? So just having one person trained in your church to bring this perhaps to your local church might not be enough, because two people are going to be able to discuss issues like Claudia is talking about. This is the ideal, is it not? Or even not just two people, but a whole team, Neil.
That's right. I mean, like, our encouragement would be anyone over the age of 18, even 17 as well, would do the child safe training. Anyone working with children or youth, the youth pastor, their elders, those sort of people as well, would all do that either online training or we can come and do a face-to-face training for you. And that what that does, it means that you're all about setting culture and that you're not just, you know, have the idea of being a child safe organisation, but you're actually actively demonstrating, like Robert Fitzgerald said at the conference I was last week.
A lot of people very interested and excited about the idea of the culture of their local church. And when you say setting the culture, it's setting that thing in place that everybody just takes for granted, that this is the way we do protect our children, that our church is protected because these policies are in place. You've really got to get that culture happening. And to do that, you've got to talk about it.
That's right. And it's all about having a shared purpose across the whole organisation. And what that means is that every single person knows, the church understands, the community understands, but also you've got a code of conduct. So what we talk about is a child safe policy, which is actually what you're going to do in terms of protecting children. And then you have a code of conduct, which actually looks at the behaviour in how leaders and volunteers and staff will actually behave when those children are around. And when people subscribe with ChildSafe, we actually give them templates where they can put their, that they're all set out ready for you to go, but it actually connects with our systems as well.
Neil, take us through, in a nutshell, perhaps some of the key standards. You mentioned a little earlier there are 10 ChildSafe standards, those sorts of things that every local church needs to appreciate have very, very significant high importance. Take us through a few of those, if you're able to, just the most important ones out of that 10.
Sure. Well, the first one is ChildSafe is embedded in institutional leadership, governance and culture. And that is that basically formats all the rest of them. And when leadership and governance and culture is understood in terms of child safety, then we would see some really incredible changes. The second one's children participate in decisions affecting them and are taken seriously. I love that the Royal Commission has highlighted the fact that if something affects a child, they should be involved in it. And what that means is your policies and code of conduct should actually be able to be read by a child, and it should be up and about, and children should be included in that process. And so that's really important. The other thing is around complaints, is that if there is a complaint or is there is something that is occurring in the situation and a child does not feel safe, do they know who to go to and what the process is to complain, and will they be listened to? Because a lot of people we've understood is that a lot of people, and the Royal Commission as well, is that people didn't listen to children, but the Royal Commission took it upon themselves to make sure that the commissioners listen to children about complaints processes and how they felt. The other one is families and communities are informed and involved. Like I was saying before, that you actually advertise, there's transparency in relation to what you are doing around child safety. Equity is upheld and diverse needs are taken into account. So there's an equity amongst all people, which is really important. People working with children are suitable and supported. It means that they need to be trained and screened, and the volunteers are actually... The organisation does due diligence in making sure the right people are in the right positions. Very, very critical.
Neil, let me cut in here.
That's number four.
There's lots of them, and as listeners will know, every one of those sounds incredibly important to be able to implement that in the local church. We had a call from Jane who didn't want to go to air, but she had a question which is a little bit, it's got a few twists in it. What kind of security or checks are in place to stop child predators from completing the course and actually using the course clearance as a way to get access to children? In other words, how can you stop predators from fooling their way through the course? Is there a response for that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, if they do an online training, there's no way of filtering that, if you like. However, if they do the online training and they go to a church and the church has, and their organisation has systems in place, so it's not just doing the training, but there's actually screening and volunteering for volunteers, then it means that there's other levels before that. So, in terms of our online training, that's making it easy for people to do who are in remote areas and those sort of things. And yes, I'm sure pedophiles have done that training, but when it comes to going into an organisation, that's why we say that training is not enough. There needs to be screening in place for people so that the organisations, when it comes to working with children check, police check, whatever you have decided is really important.
Now, interestingly, when you're doing these presentations all over Australia, you'll not only have your ChildSafe team doing their presentations, but you'll also have presentations from a leading law firm. This is how significant all of this is, because, as you can imagine, if things get out of hand here, everything escalates, and so lawyers are involved. So, but you've got you'll have a lawyer who's being part of the presentation.
That's right. Two of the standards will be presented by Adam from Lewis Holdway Lawyers, who have been helping victims for the last 20 years and have been involved in the processes to help. And so they'll either be present, or if they can't be there, they'll be, their presentation's already been videoed, and so it'll be as if they're there. However, we're going to be having a Q&A panel in that time as well, and they will be live on the phone. And so that's really important, because obviously, if it does go pear-shaped, they need to know where to turn, and Lewis Holway lawyers are absolutely fantastic, and they will help. But obviously, we never want that to happen. However, it's important for people to know where they're supported and how this actually impacts, because, you know, you talk about leadership and governance and culture. Well, if you don't actually get these things in place and something happens, well, the leadership is going to be liable, because the police or the ombudsman, depending on where you're listening from, will actually come and see what processes you've actually put in place. And if there hasn't been any, and there's been abuse that occurs, and the leadership aren't championing child safety, well, then that could get ugly.
Well, I hope listeners have gleaned something from our conversation today. Interesting thing is, when we talk about an issue like child sexual abuse in churches, for some that'll be like, there's a red light about the church. In fact, talking about it is so important today because these issues are being dealt with. They're being cleaned up. They're being those standards, as you say, Neil, put in place to ensure the safety of children. So the upside to all of this, and as we go back to some of the things we mentioned early in our conversation, the upside here is that churches, when they have these policies, when they have these standards in place, it'll be a wonderful new trust, a trustworthiness that comes upon the church, and this is the aim of actually bringing these things to the attention of church leaders.
This is the beginning point to restoring trust in the organisation and also into the community. These standards are critically important to put in place, and it's out of that that you form that child-safe organisation.
Now, you're going to lots of regional centres. The team is travelling to Alice Springs. You'll be in Ballarat. You'll be visiting Tamworth, Batemans Bay, Katherine in the Northern Territory, Cairns in North Queensland. Your first stop for the National Roadshow is going to be Canberra, and kicks off on the 19th of March, and you'll be concluding in Katherine in the Northern Territory, 29th of October. It is going to be a very big, busy year, lots of travelling involved. I hope the team gets on well with all of the travelling that's involved, because you might be in close quarters with one another, but undoubtedly you're going to sow some wonderful seeds. Good things are going to happen out of this. When people do this training online, and I'll give the website in just a few moments for when people can get in touch. When people do this training online, as our caller, Claudia, said, the light goes on. You understand what's happening around children. This is one of the things, isn't it, Neil, that if you do some training in this area, you will understand why it's so important.
Absolutely. Well, the child-safe training is so critical, because it brings to light, what abuse is, what to look for, risk management, those sort of things, and it really puts into light of the importance of child safety. The roadshow is not child safe training; it's information about where the government's moving forward in and what they see as best practice and how. And as child safe, we've just done a media release and we are adopting the Royal Commission recommendations, those 10 child safe standards, as our child safe standards as an organisation. And within the sub points, we have a few others that we feel like they've actually missed, because it's really important to make sure these things are in place.
Well, all honour to you, Neil, and your team at Child Safe. Because what you're doing is so important, and we all recognise that. And I'm hoping listeners will keep you in their prayers as you do this tour around the nation. Child Safe National Roadshow. Keep your eye out for it. Here's the website to be able to see where the Child Safe National Roadshow is coming to a town near you. childsafe.org.au. Child Safe. Sorry?
childsafe.org.au/events.
Events. Okay, so childsafe.org.au/events. Neil Milton, thanks so much for taking some time to share your thoughts with us today on 2020.
Thanks so much for having me.
Before you go, thanks for listening.
There's lots more great audio on demand, or you can listen to us live at visionradio.org.au.
And remember, Vision is listener supported. Your donation,
large or small,
will help us continue connecting faith to life for hundreds of thousands of people across Australia and around the world.
Learn more or donate today at visionradio.org.au.